Sounds like we've got company over my place. Yes, indeed we do. I want to welcome to the airwaves of 107.9 WRMB, Philadelphia's new R&B leader, the one and only Emmy Award-winning producer, musician, vocalist, man about the world, and he's Philadelphia's own. We are very proud to welcome Bill Jolly. Bill, good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm excellent. Real good.
And you forgot to say your friend.
And my friend. All right, that's
right. That's most important.
There you go. And my friend of many, many years.
That's
okay?
Right.
I should also say a person who has many of my secrets, okay?
No, see now.
And I think I have a few of yours, okay?
We're on the air now, remember?
Yes, we are. So keep it professional. Oh, my goodness. But, Bill, I'm very proud of you because the world has an opportunity to experience your grandeur as a musician, as a producer, because of the work that you've done with so many people as a musical director and MD. And you've worked with just everybody from Celine Dion to Gene Karn. I mean, you tell us some of the people.
Oh, wow. Celine Grover, Michael Bolton, Gerald Levert, Usher, Jill Scott, Brian McKnight. I've worked with so many different people, and I guess a lot more to come, you know. But it's just a blessing to be able to do what you love.
What is the role of a MD, of an MD? What does the musical director do?
Actually, the music director is the guy you blame when it all goes wrong.
No.
So most of what I do is just really just to try to make sure that the music, that everybody, keep everybody on the same page. I let everybody know where we're going. I control all of the, and try to handle all of the artist's concerns, their fears, and make sure the keys are correct. I'm the general and the director of everything, just to make sure everything goes smooth so that when they go on the stage, everything just flows.
You've got the baton.
You got it.
You're the conductor.
I guess I'm driving the train.
You sure are. So you worked with Grover Washington Jr. for a decade, and many people are familiar with you as a result of the work that you did around the globe, because you literally traveled around the entire planet with Grover. Talk about your relationship and who Grover Washington Jr., even though he wasn't a native of Philadelphia, we adopted him here. And what was the reception to his music worldwide?
You know, everybody loved Grover. You know, the one thing I always tell people is that Grover was just the nicest guy. I mean, I've never seen him, I never saw him turn down an autograph for anybody. He was just a nice, genuine person, and he really just loved to play the music. I mean, that's what he was about. You know, a lot of times he took different hits from different people who kind of tried to classify what he did, whether he was, wasn't pure enough, or whether it was this or whether it was that. But Grover was just an excellent musician who believes that a real musician should be able to play anything, from a New Orleans funeral to a classical piece, which I've seen him do, to straight ahead jazz, to funk, to soul, to whatever. And that's the thing that I loved most about him. He was just open.
Tell us a little bit about your background, Bill. You're from Philadelphia. What section did you grow up in?
I came from Winfield, and I went to Overbrook High School.
Yay.
For all the people at Brook. And,
Brook.
And, you know, it's funny because everything I'm doing now is really stuff that I did when I was at Brook. I used to do I was in charge of most of the shows that were there. I was the music director for a lot of the shows. And went from there to Westchester University. And I'm, really proud to say that I was, inducted into the Overbrook High School Hall of Fame and received the Distinguished Alumni from Westchester State, University. So it was really a cool thing. But Philly's been my home.
You have been described as the Quincy Jones of Philadelphia in the media and by many people. How do you take to that particular title?
Well, I don't know if I've lived up to all of that, but I think probably, it's such a humbling, a description, because really he is just, the musician's musician. But I think what they're trying to say is when people say those kind of things, is that I stay open to whatever. I mean, I love to score music for television and films, or I might be directing a choir one day, or I might be playing somewhere, or I might be you know, writing out an orchestra score or doing a country record or doing a hip-hop record. And I just love to stay open like that. And I think that's the kind of guy that Q was. And so for me, that's like the ultimate compliment.
Well, we are going to listen to the music of a gentleman that you spent 10 years of your life literally all over the world. And when we come back, we're going to talk about and get a little insight into Miss Jean Carn and also the fine one of all time, Mr. Teddy Pendergrass, because you were also his musical director. That and so much more. It's Bill Jolly at My Place on the Sounds of Philadelphia on 107.9 WRNB. Philadelphia's new R&B leader, the home of the Tom Joyner Morning Show, Jean Carn, and a favorite here, Don't Let It Go to Your Head. We also listen to Grover Washington Jr. and Let It Flow for Dr. J. And of course, the reason we played Miss Carn is because you were also her musical director, Bill.
That's
Talk
right.
about Jean Carn and your relationship with her and how it led you to Grover Washington.
Well, you know, it's funny because I started first with Norman Connors, and I did a little thing with him for 3 years. And,
who's from
and
then, Camden.
Right, absolutely. And then I met Gene through Norman, because, of course, they worked together. Then when I was working with Gene as her music director, Grover produced a song called Closer Than Close. And he came in one day. I think we were playing at the, somewhere, you know, Valley Forge Music Fair. And he came in and sat in on Closer Than Close, and that's how I met Grover. And then the next thing that happened, you know, Grover was looking to put a band together, and I got a call, and he said, hey, look, you know, I remember you from here, and, you know, you want to come join me? And I was like, great.
So Norman Connors led to Jean Carn, and Jean Carn led to Grover, and then, of course, I know that led to all of the other situations, because you became the go-to guy when folks were in Atlantic City, like Celine Dion.
Right.
And Michael Bolton, all those folks, they would call Bill Jolly.
Right, and Paul Anka and all those kind of acts when they needed choirs and things like that. And that kind of happened by kind of mistake, too, because I was working with the Philadelphia Music Alliance, and I would put together these big, you know, final finales to all these shows where we'd bring the choir in, and, you know, the Doves would come out and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when they needed it, they said, well, call Bill. He seems
call
to know.
Bill. So. Bill's the guy.
Yeah, so it's been a blessing.
Well, another person we mentioned that you had an opportunity to work with, and I know I've seen you perform with him several times. In fact, his very first show touring was in Atlantic City, and he had not been on the road for quite some time, and I'm, of course, referring to Theodore Teddy Pendergrass.
Right, absolutely, our friend.
Yes, our friend, Mr. Pendergrass. And the show in Atlantic City was just breathtaking because Teddy just dominated that stage. Women were literally running up to the stage like they used to do in the For Women Only concerts. You were the MD. What did you make of all of that, Bill?
Oh, you know, it was interesting because, you know, one thing I hadn't forgot about was that there had to be somebody on stage who had to pick up the panties that were thrown on, and that had to be me, and
was
I
that
forgot
your
all about that.
You were the panty picker-upper?
Oh, listen, I had to pick them up.
You the panty expert. Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. So, see,
well, you know, I kind of held them out, but I, you know, but they still had to get off the stage. So.
A little-known Bill Jolly fact revealed on the Sounds of Philadelphia.
Yeah, but it was really, it was an honor to be asked by Teddy, and it was really cool because I just loved the music, you know, and it was a really cool thing also because I think Teddy was at a different place in his life also, and he really wanted to go out and prove something, and that was really just, you know, for me, it was just cool.
Year are we talking about, Bill?
That was about, maybe about 3-4 years ago.
Right.
I think we've been off of the road now for about, I guess, 2.5 years, I guess, yeah.
So I recall a show you guys did in New Orleans. I was at my place there. And it was the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, which actually wrapped up today.
Right.
And Teddy took to the stage. It must have been about 99 degrees.
Right.
No joke. With the humidity, it might have been even more.
Right.
And that was, Teddy looked like he was levitating. The show was just phenomenal. There was a huge crowd, and folks went berserk to hear everything from, you know, latest, greatest inspiration to Bad Luck. I mean, he did a medley of his hits with Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, and then his hits as a solo artist. People forget Teddy was the first artist, first African-American male artist to have, I believe, 7 consecutive platinum albums in a row. Some phenomenal number like that.
I mean, yeah, I didn't even, you know, some of those things, I didn't even know about it. Wow, but I knew he was large, you know, so we just, but it was, I say it was so cool. And he used to sing an hour and a half and not take a drink of water at all. It would just amaze me.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it was really a lot of fun.
And a courageous man, because it's difficult to have a disability of any kind, but to be a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, because they also have a lot of respiratory issues,
right,
breathing problems, and Teddy would get out there and just, that New Orleans show did it for me, and I'd been a fan and seen him in all kinds of venues, particularly the Live Aid show. I was there with him,
right,
and he performed with Valerie Simpson and Nick Ashford, but that New Orleans show stands out of my memory, Bill.
Oh, yeah, it was just, I tell you, it was so much fun, and I talked to some of the people from the group from time to time, and, you know, my brother, because he played with us also, and different people, and we just say, man, gosh, we wish we could still go out and do some more, you know, because it was so much fun.
Yeah. Well, you have been a blessed individual. You've done music for television shows here in Philadelphia. Tell us some of those shows, because I'm sure it's music that people are familiar with.
Wow. Well, I've done, you know, sometimes, you know, people don't pay attention to the background music, but I've done a lot of music for all of the local stations here in Philly. I've done theme songs for a lot of different shows, from the news shows to things like Visions and
Vernon Odom show,
right, mm-hmm, and Prime Time, and a lot of the parades that you see. And then I've been blessed to do a lot of national work from VH1, which I have a lot of the stuff I did at VH1, because you introduced me to some folks over there. And VH1, HBO, Showtime, BET, and, you know, it's just been a blessing. You know, right now I have 3 Emmy Awards, which is really a blessing for television. And I'm just, you know, I'm excited about the future. You know, I just got finished scoring 2 films. One was about the life of Jocko, and one was about the political campaign in Philadelphia.
And of course, you're referring to Jocko Henderson, one of the renowned DJs, Philadelphia and around the country,
right,
as well.
Absolutely.
So, Doug Henderson Jr.'s daddy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's been a blessing. You know, it's been cool, and I am just so grateful to be able to just do what I love every day.
Yeah, it is a blessing to be able to do that. Well, Bill, we're going to take a listen to the gentleman we've just finished talking about for the last few minutes, our dear friend and super talent, Teddy Pendergrass. This one written by Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff from the vaults of Philadelphia International Records, a song that you have performed live with Teddy many times. It's so good when somebody loves you back on 107.9. WRNB. It's so good. 107.9 WRNB. A whole lot of guys wish they had somebody just like you. I love Teddy. I love the music of Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff. Great songs. I talked to Kenny Gamble last week, and we were marveling at how beautiful these songs are and how they have held up. They're classics. And you had a chance, Bill, to play that one so many times. In fact, we played it because you said it was one of your favorites.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Idealism in love songs.
That's right.
I'm going to do a theme one night when we do Sensual Sounds, the idealistic love songs. Okay.
Oh, gosh, you're going to be doing it all night long.
I know. I'll
literally
have a whole lot of material, won't I?
Yeah.
They're more love songs than anything else. We were talking on the break while we were listening to Teddy as well, that you had a chance to work with Phyllis Hyman. You left her off your list as you were rattling off people.
Right. She used to come to the house, and we used to cut demos in the basement, you know, and it's funny when I think about some of those, you know, those experiences you have with those folks who are not here, you know.
Right. Spencer, didn't you work with Spencer Harrison, too?
Yeah, Spencer. Spencer and I actually went to school together.
Look at that. I didn't realize he went to Overbrook.
Yeah, Spencer and Liz Hoag.
Liz Hoag,
both of them, actually, you know, Liz was one of the first singers in my band. I had to go to her father's house and ask him, could she sing a music other than gospel music?
Wow.
Yeah, and so
So many experiences. Well, I want people to know that you have so much going on, and we're going to let you go because you've got to get back to the studio. But you are now the musical director for the Rhythm and Blues Foundation, which moved to Philadelphia this past year. And their big gala will be June 29th?
Yes, June 29th here in Philly. And it's such a blessing. I mean, they were honoring Berry Gordy, Otis Redding, the late Otis Redding, Tommy Bell, Chubby Checker, Betty LaVette, Barbara Mason, the Delphonics, and Frankie Beverly and Maze. And I'm going to be working with an all-star band that's going to include Paul Schaefer and guys from Earth, Wind & Fire. And it really is just a blessing for me to be in this position doing this particular gig.
You are also, I'm excited about that because you are indeed one of the finest musical directors here in Philadelphia and around the country, but you were my musical director for the International Association of African American Music, the Diamond Awards, for every June Black Music Month event. And I've got to say thank you publicly because you would do medleys of artists ranging from Chaka Khan to Stevie Wonder to Isaac Hayes. You even came out one year and did Isaac Hayes. You had the chains on the ball. It was quite something to see. You did Frankie Beverly and Maze. I mean, so many people. And I thank you, Bill, because your artistry, your humility allowed you to do this and work with other artists. You worked with everybody from Brian McKnight, who did the Stevie Wonder medley, to Vesta, who did the tribute to Stevie Wonder. I mean, every year you worked with an aggregation of some of the most stellar, talented artists in contemporary music.
Right.
You handled it.
That was, that was so great. I mean, that really prepared me for everything else that I'm doing, really.
Yeah. Well, we want to let people know that you are reachable on the World Wide Web, and give us the website.
Yep, it's just BillJolly.com. Just out of town, BillJolly.com.
And you have a new CD. We're going to take a listen to it in just a moment. Tell us very quickly about that.
Yep, it's called Behind the Scarf, and it's my first project that I've done on my own, and it really has been a long time coming, but it was a project that was really inspired by my mother, who passed about a year and a half ago. And a lot of times, my kind of trademark has been my keyboard scarf, and everybody would ask me, what's the story behind the scarf? So the CD's called Behind the Scarf, and you can get it on the website right now.
All right. And also, you were just featured in a wonderful Verizon campaign.
Yes, that was a blessing, too. I was chosen to represent Verizon DSL, and since then, I've been a company called Korg Keyboards has put me in for their national endorsement, and I just got a call last week from the Bose Corporation that does the Bose speakers, and I'm going to be doing a project with them on QVC, actually in about a week and a half.
Well, Bill, you've got a lot going on. We can check you out on your website. See you at the Rhythm and Blues Foundation dinner, which will be at the Park Hyatt on June 29th. Tickets are available to the public. The Rhythm and Blues Foundation, a nonprofit organization that helps musicians and celebrates talented people just like you. Thank you so much for stopping by my place on the airwaves of 107.9. We are very appreciative, Bill.
Well, thank you, my friend, and keep on doing it.
Continue success with your music. Keep making the world happy. And again, it's Behind the Scarf on 107.9, Bill Jolly with Deanna.